flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I disagree. Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller, Donnie Football, and you at 412-928-9370. Listening live on 93.7 FM, also on the free Odyssey app, 93.7thefan.com too, or watching on our YouTube page. This is the reaction to the reaction. So we heard Art, then we talked about it, and we've had a full night and full morning of hearing people react to what Art said. So now I'm ready to comment on what people are saying about Art.
The meta reaction. That's what I want to do here. You're doing a meta reaction.
First of all, I want to say in regards to those comments, and I think fans are picking up on this too, what he said about Mike being a good coach. Since when is good good enough? This speaks directly to the Jim Rooney comments. Outperforming the mean. One of the things Mike tried to do when he benched Justin Fields for Russell Wilson was pretty much say, good is the enemy of great. We're getting good quarterback play. If we're going to go anywhere this season, we need great quarterback play. The idea was right, but Russ wasn't capable of pulling that off anymore. He's 36 going on 37. We saw the bottom fallout with him. Ultimately, he's right. Patrick Mahomes is playing in the Super Bowl out of the AFC again. That was his logic for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We're winning, but we're not winning the way we need to win if we're going to end this playoff win drought and do damage in January. Owner comes back and says of his coach, who keeps failing at winning those games, he's good. You never get rid of a good coach. And the number one thing I've heard people on our station say, people call in and say, and people text in and say, is that thinking, this, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The team that's in the Super Bowl from Pennsylvania does not believe in that. They don't believe in just good enough. They don't think, well, we have Andy Reid, he had one crappy year. Let's get rid of him. I mean, let's keep him around and give him a mulligan season. No, they fired him and replaced him with a coach who won double-digit games. And then when he didn't tickle everybody's fancy there and the players got tired of him, they fired him for a coach who won the Super Bowl. And then that guy had one bad season. They fired him and they replaced him with another coach who's now gone to two Super Bowls. This organization falls back on good. And the overarching point that I think is true today, after hearing people talk about this, is they don't think that the team is in the capable hands of an owner who gets it anymore. They don't. It's the most negative reaction I've ever heard to a Rooney being the steward of the Steelers franchise. We always hear people that want to get shots in on any owner in town. It's not universal. It's not ubiquitous. I think for the most part, people here have felt in the Rooneys we trust. They've done nothing but win for the last 50 years. They'll figure it out. They know more than us. I saw one comment on the YouTube channel that said that. And that was just because I think someone wanted to needle Joe and say, oh, Joe knows more than Mike Tomlin. Oh, Joe Starkey knows more than a guy that's never had a losing season or knows more than a guy whose family has been, he's been brought up in football.
Was the person's YouTube handle Art? Yes, this is Art Rooney too.
I saw one. I saw one person who was willing to say, actually, Joe, shut up. Let these guys do their job. That's
it. You want to know why that's...
Very, like, that's we usually get a ton of
that. Do you know
that.
Why we usually get it, though? This is funny that you bring it up, and it's usually, I think, more directed at me and you, quite honestly, and I'm not trying to separate us from the rest of the station because I don't look at Adam Crowley's mentions or Joe's mentions. I think usually people like to, because maybe we occupy a position as being sort of the bad guys sometimes if we're just telling what we think is the truth and people don't like want to hear it.
You can't handle the truth!
People like to tell us, I think they know more than you do. They've been doing this for a while. And it's equally, it's almost more of a put down of us than it is support of the Roonies, but it's still there. That's gone, man. Like, it's their support base is completely eroded. Couple things. I've said this from the start. I think I've been pretty resolute on this because I understand that Mike is generally going to be the person who gets the most anger from most fans.
Mm-hmm.
Art is the bigger problem.
You know what, Chris?
Art has been the bigger problem for a while now, too.
And we might have, like, season ends, we're going through where they came up short, and that will, you'll make that point, or somebody will, but it's not a redundant argument. It's not something you're hearing over and over and over again like a broken record. I think you're right. I think right now, in this very moment, the owner is looked at as the bad guy more than the head coach. His approval rating, I think, is even lower than Mike's.
I think you could probably put that up to a poll question right now on your feed and see how people reacted. Just say who's doing a worse job or whatever. Who do you have a lower approval rating for?
Who are you angrier at?
Yeah, who are you angrier at is a good question to put out there. But like, I'll just maintain, I think Art is the biggest problem because ultimately everybody, even Mike, who's been given so much power by Art, who Art publicly says such nice things about. Even Mike answers to Art. Art answers to nobody. He doesn't even answer to the minority owners of the team that might want this, that, or the other done to the team or to the head coach or to the coaching staff. He answers to no one. He is the biggest problem. I think about like Jeffrey Lurie, who owns the Eagles, and I just say, exponentially better owner than Art. You know, you would get for so many years the same kind of treatment Mike gets from the national media, like, hey, be careful what you wish for, Pittsburgh, blah, blah, blah. He's a great coach. I think the Roonies would be deified with. Now, Dan Rooney, I thought, deserved it richly. Like, I thought he deserved that treatment as, like, almost a sainted owner as far as how good the team was. Art has done nothing to earn that. It's just been almost handed to him, like, grandfathered in. Hey, you're a Rooney, so you must be good at this. No, he's not. Jeffrey Lurie is, like, literal, like, the way he runs the Eagles, the way Howie Roseman, who I think is probably the best GM in football, acquires talent, disposes of talent and brings in new talent and handles the coaching staff and the assistant coaches is like the biggest refutation of what Art Rooney holds dear as far as how you're supposed to run an NFL franchise that you could get. Now, the Eagles still have to finish the job with this little two Super Bowl run. They lost the first one barely, and they've got to win this one. But hold on. Think about all the things Art holds dear. We like consistency. We don't like rocking the boat. We don't like too much turnover. You know what you didn't even mention in that whole Eagles thing? They had a quarterback getting like very high up in the MVP voting in Carson Wentz that they had picked very early. When the worm turned there, out on his ass.
Yeah, they drafted Jalen Hurts preemptively before they even got rid of Wentz and pissed Wentz off.
They are willing to do things that rock the boat when they think the boat needs to be
rocked.
Well,
that's right. I mean,
period.
The conservative way of building teams has gone by the wayside. The Rams had F that picks. They won a Super Bowl. The Bucks brought in Tom Brady and everything that comes with that, him having guys that want to jump on board and try to win a Super Bowl and caught lightning in a bottle and won. What the Eagles have done, hyper-aggressiveness, eschewing conservative nature as an organization. They've won one Super Bowl. They've been to two more. And Donnie, I would even say this. You can get the microphone in front of you here. Donnie Football will follow us at 6 and bridge the gap between us and the basketball game.
It's not a full show. It's not a full show, but still, we got to...
He's feeling better. I didn't see any lozenge or any cough drops before the show.
We got to put him on a pitch count for these 4 hours.
I saw him eat the spiciest chicken I've ever had in my entire life, where I honestly...
That had you down bad. Malzy, you should have seen him.
Was it the Salem's chicken today?
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, the firecracker chicken's like... Shrieking?
Do you want to try to mimic the?
He was like, "Oh, this is so hot! Oh, oh!" He was like making the weirdest noises. I'm like, "Dude, are you okay?"
So think of so.
I just can't eat it. It's too hot.
So even it was super duper hot, man.
Has to defend himself. He's trying to make his big point. He has to defend himself, though.
Even the Chiefs.
Yeah.
What happened there? The Steelers beat them in a playoff game without scoring a touchdown.
Yeah.
But that team finished with the second best record in the AFC that year, Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided in the April draft, with Alex Smith under contract, to move up to take Mahomes, a quarterback from Texas Tech, a school that always had guys put up gigantic stats, never had guys that translated to the NFL. They rolled the dice and did that. There is no way on God's green earth, if the Steelers had a double-digit win season and were 2 wins away from the Super Bowl with a Pro Bowl quarterback, that Art would have said, let's go take another quarterback. No chance.
No, because that would rock the boat.
And they fall back on, that's not how we do business, and what he said about Tomlin. You don't get rid of good. What does good get you?
Can I give you another Chiefs example before I forget, because I just want to keep stacking the evidence here? What else did they do? When they came very close to getting to the Super Bowl, Mahomes' first year as a starter, what really derailed them that year? Their defense.
Yeah, they fired their coordinator and brought
fired. He had been on the. I think Reed brought him in 2013 when he took over. Their defense had been trending in the wrong direction. They brought in Spags, who is probably the single biggest non-Andy Reed, Patrick Mahomes, I guess Travis Kelce reason that they keep getting to and winning
Super
Bowls.
He's a huge reason.
He is a massive. He is their version of Dick LeBeau. Again, though, to stress this, they fired the guy when they were 6 points away, basically the flip of a coin away from going to the Super Bowl. They said, we've got Patrick Mahomes. We can't ever let this happen again. Not good enough.
Donnie, what's your reaction to the reaction of Art Rooney's comments?
Well, I mean, he's definitely the biggest problem. Like, there's no question to me. I retweeted your poll, though. I don't know how much I really helped the numbers, because Pony doesn't usually need that help on social media. But it's always the, what do you want to say, the head of the snake? Like, he's the top man on the food chain. He is the biggest problem because he's the owner of the team, and he feels like it's okay how things are going. And yes, there is evidence that he is fine sitting back on the laurels of, well, we're the Steelers. We'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah,
they're stuck in 1970, 1990s, even the early 2000s, when things were able to be that way. They are not that way anymore. You have to evolve.
Yeah. Stella did go back and watch Super Bowl X's NFL Films production today. It's going back to those halcyon days.
She's
going to
be
that.
The only little girl in like preschool going, Carl Eller, Alan Page.
She like afraid of Facenda's voice?
Super Bowl X had all the pomp and circumstance of the previous 9 Super Bowls, but for the first time ever.
Yeah, she's waddling up to
Andrew
one day.
The game turned out to be the greatest Super Bowl of all time.
She's waddling up to Pony in like 6 months, and she just out of nowhere says, Dada, the autumn wind is a raider.
On the opening kickoff, Hollywood Henderson returned it deep into Steelers territory. Roy Girella made a touchdown-saving tackle. That would loom large for the rest of the game as Jarella bruised his ribs.
We always would do those for like the each team's like annual yearbook video. It was another hard year for the Cincinnati Bengals. Lessons were learned on the course of 3 wins and 13 losses.
So I believe, hearing the conversation over the last now almost 24 hours, that I've never heard Steelers fans rip a Rooney like they have over the state of the team right now after hearing them.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Breaking news, Russell Wilson named to the Pro Bowl. We will discuss what Art said about bringing back one or the other. I think I know how all three of us feel about which one they should pick, Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. I do want to hear where our listeners come down on it, and I also... You guys saw my face when I came out of one of our private areas here at work.
Oh, wow. You looked like you had seen a ghost.
A couple things on the quarterback comments from Art yesterday that I was given some context to that I will be sharing.
Donnie, you love hearing about this, you know, way right when everybody else hears. He doesn't ever want us to have like a stage reaction. He doesn't ever want to tip his little hand off the air.
Okay, I'm not Kenny here or Jalen Milroe. I'm not Jim Drunken Miller either.
He doesn't want to tip his tiny little hand any way, which way here, Don.
Here is Tom in Youngstown on Art Rooney 2. Hello, Tom.
Hi, guys. You know, I've been a Steeler fan for 50 years, and I tell you what, there's got to be more like me because this is just ridiculous. There are no words for this anymore. This coach should have been fired 10 freaking years ago. He's absolutely horrible. And what part is good when he says he's still a good coach? Where is he still a good coach?
Well, his record, his record is the definition of good. It's better he wins more than he loses.
And that is number 7's record, let me tell you. That is Ben's non-losing record.
Well, the last few seasons are without him, but okay. I mean, you're right about most of them.
I mean, this guy, I'm so tired.
But, Tom, he's not going to fire himself. Do you get that?
I know.
He's not going to walk into Rooney's office and say, hey, I'm going to resign because the fans don't like me anymore.
I know that.
Tom, Art doesn't think he's a bad coach. He thinks you need to hang on to him. Tom, don't you think then that the owner is the bigger problem since
he... Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Just making sure.
Thank you, Tom.
I guess I just, yeah, I get the anger at Mike, but the idea, I think, that Mike is the biggest problem in the Steelers organization right now is so flawed because he answers to somebody, and that somebody thinks he's great. That's the problem.
Here is Phil on the fan. Hello, Phil.
Hey, guys. Art the Third is named appropriately. He's named after his grandfather, who basically never won anything either. The Steelers only won when Dan took over. Since he's been gone, he's the football mind. This guy's just sitting back. He's been... You know, living on his family name. Definitely the problem. I mean, he's given Tomlin basically, all the power to do what he wants, and it doesn't work.
That's
he's
a good point, too.
Blanche.
When
I agree
you give
with
the guy
Phil.
That much power, there's no impetus, not only for that guy to, like, well, really, just no impetus for that guy to change. Maybe I have to allow for the possibility that Mike Tomlin, if pressed to do it, could change his ways in some ways. I don't know if that would happen, but he's never even been asked to do it. That's like the thing that gets me.
The situation with Howie Roseman lost power and got it back in Philadelphia is instructive here. He was in charge, and then Andy Reid was in charge. And Andy Reid was, I think, had the title. He might not have had the GM title, but he functioned as their GM for a couple of years. And so when they fired him, I think it was in part because...
From 2010 to 2012, it was head coach has authority.
They wanted somebody to run the football operations there. And we have Omar Khan, and we get the Khan father stuff, and oh, Omar's cooking and everything else. But we know that the great puppeteer here, even pulling those strings, is Mike. And the trend of in the NFL is to give these people less power, not more. Don't make it all about the head coach. In Buffalo, for example, the head coach picked the GM. Sean McDermott essentially picked Brandon Bean. It sounds like Liam Cohn. Did you guys see that, by the way, yesterday?
I like how he said Balky's departure there had nothing to do with his decision to take the job.
You know how they had that Duval cheer? Did you guys?
Didn't he do like Duval? Like, didn't he do
a horrible
one?
Did you see it, Donnie?
I just know people were laughing at
him.
Did he not do
like a terrible one?
Mike Golic Jr., I think, had a line like, even the Iowa defensive back room thinks this is like too white. Like, he really did. But the point is, they might have a big hand in picking the GM, but then the GM goes and does his job. Someone they can get along with and work with. But the GM still has the authority over the roster.
Strong
we
head
know
coach,
it's not like that here.
The strong head coach model stopped working for the Patriots. I mean, Roseman, I'm looking at his football reference page, it very neatly kind of ties this in, because I think Chip Kelly also had authority.
Yep.
Like, so it literally has a note in here. Reclaimed personnel power on December. It's almost like Howie Roseman like wanted there to be a line of demarcation on December 30th, 2015. They went 7-9 the next year. Okay. 13-3 and won the Super Bowl, pair of 9-7s, a 4-11-1, a 9-8, and only in one of these years did they miss the playoffs, then got back to the Super Bowl, lost the wild card, and are back in the Super Bowl again. I would say having a GM who is allowed to do his job and operate ruthlessly if necessary is a very good thing.
John is next. Hello, John.
Yeah, guys, hey, now it's easy for me to say because I'm 67 years old, so I've seen Stanley Cups, I've seen World Series, titles, and I've seen Super Bowl.
Congratulations on all your success.
You've also seen a college football national title, too.
Well, maybe he's a Penn State fan.
Yeah, oh, no, that's okay. I'm a Pitt guy.
Okay.
But, you know, for our, why change? You can't get a ticket.
Oh, you're saying he's got no business reason to change. Like,
right.
The demand is still there.
And, you know,
yeah.
John, thank you for making that point. We got more people to get to. That's the only reason why I'm letting you go. I have heard more people say that in 24 hours than I ever have. More people saying he cares more about profits and the money than he does winning. That used to be like a verboten comment to make about the Steelers.
Well, you never would have made it about Dan. Does Art do himself any favors in refuting that notion with like the tone he takes when he talks about the team?
No, he sounds like a bean counter.
He sounds like somebody who is reading like, what is it, an annual report that like the shareholder meeting?
He sounds like a guy that has an abacus on his desk.
Really?
Yeah.
The old abacus, huh?
Donnie, do you know what an abacus is?
Nope.
Wait a minute. You don't? You've never heard A-B-A-C-U-S, that word. Never read it. Abacus. It's like an old Chinese counting device, like the oldest counting device in the world.
Here we go again.
I'm still amazed.
A sleeper agent for China comes through again.
I'm also amazed he didn't know what mean meant.
Yeah, see, like,
good
guy's an encyclopedia.
I'm an idiot.
5 days a week,
see?
And then we bring up mean.
And he's like, what's the difference between mean and median?
Now you two turn into Einstein and Newton over there.
How about the mode? Don't forget about him.
Yeah.
Depeche Mode.
I used to love the mode.
Yeah, keep it going, Euclid.
What's that Depeche Mode song where he goes,
Reach out, that's a great song.
Why is that not one of our beds?
Great call. I think it needs to be.
We can get that.
Can we also get Call to Personality, too, while we're at it? Not Depeche Mode, but can we get Call to Personality?
The Midday Show has had the Chicago Blackhawks goal song and like the song from, one of those HBO shows, the one with Steve Buscemi. where it's like set back in the early
1900s.
They've had that bed for like 15 years.
We always talk about The Sopranos, even though I've never seen it. Why don't we have Got Yourself a Gun in
That's
there,
That's another
too?
Fantastic bed. You know who's going to all of a sudden start piping in on this, chiming in on it? Jeff in South Park. You guys got to get some Slipknot in there.
No, he
How
would
about
go,
some Megadeth?
He would go for like, he would, no, Jeff wouldn't go that obvious. He'd be like, you know, guys, there is a great guitar lick in a Mastodon song. Mastodon does have some cool stuff, though.
You know that band that comes out with goat heads on? Those guys have a great instrumental.
Yeah. You guys want to get some Helmet in there?
One, Macklin on his season. He's been 50%, and they score! And it's celebrating!
I was actually on my phone in bed around 1 o'clock in the morning watching that goal. And it's one of those situations where Amanda probably thinks I have a porn addiction.
What choices brought you
because
to that point?
She rolls over.
And there you are.
And the light from the phone is on. And I'm afraid that she's going to catch me.
So you tilt
so
the phone
I immediately
away?
Like put the phone on my chest and pretend like I'm sleeping. And then when I feel like she's back in a restive state, I then go right back to the phone and pull the video back up.
I think it would actually be less embarrassing to be watching porn than to be watching a bad hockey team play on the West Coast.
She probably thinks I've got like a Sarah J video or something pulled up. Instead, I'm like watching Joe Brand and Colby Armstrong. There's more empty seats than full seats in San Jose. I heard Starkey do like an hour on this today, and I give Joe credit. Joe does monster ratings. So he
does love hockey. It's his first love.
He knows he knows what he's doing for sure. And so I do think there is an opportunity to squeeze in some conversation about them because they really suck. And
I mean, what a way to start.
And I don't think there's anything noble or anything to venerate when the team sucks and it's trying not to suck.
Mm-hmm.
Their plan this year was to kind of see what happened and have it both ways, which is why their offseason was full of pirate-like moves, Kevin Hayes and Matt Grizzlicks and guys like that. And the idea was like, all right, we're not actually going for it, but let's see what happens. Maybe we'll get lucky. It's hockey. Maybe a goalie will get hot and half the league gets into the playoffs and we'll be one of those teams and anything can happen when you're
they
there.
They made the roster to try to make the playoffs.
We owe it to Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang to do that.
Yep.
But now it's looking like it did in Chicago when Taves and Kane and Keith and those guys aged out. And
Pony, they've played 13 games now in the new year, so 26 points up for grabs. Tell me how many points you think they've gotten out of a possible 26 in 13 games.
8?
9. 3 wins, 3 overtime losses, and then a whole bunch of bad stuff otherwise.
They got 30 games left. They'd have to win like 21 of them to make the playoffs.
They ain't doing that.
Yeah.
No, I'll admit something somewhat shameful. I thought for a little bit there, because of the way the month of December largely went for them, I thought that there was a chance. I think they were 7-4 in 1 that month. I thought there was a chance something interesting might happen for them. Looked like certain things were clicking in a certain way where you could squint and see them making it, but they're done, man.
I don't think that the aspirational, this is going to be the light bulb moment that causes them organizationally to blow the whole thing up will happen. I think Pettersson will get traded because they've been left no choice. He's in his late 20s. He's in the last year of his contract. It doesn't make sense to sign him to an extension, even though, generally speaking, he's one of their better players. I don't think that they will trade guys who have no movement clauses. I think the no movement clause player thing for them is akin to the Steelers not firing coaches with years left on their contract. We gave you a no movement clause. We're going to honor the no movement clause.
Unless you want to get out of here.
That's what it feels like to me.
Unless you desperately want out, but the players, the big ones who have those clauses, have already stated on the record That they want to play their whole careers together. If that's what you wanted, by the way, if you're one of those dudes, Pony.
Yeah.
Tough. Then you got to deal with what's happening.
Unless you're really bad, and they're just trying to get rid of your contract, like Ajari or Graves. I don't see the guys with multiple years and no movement clauses getting dealt to accelerate the rebuilding process. I think they'll let those, like you have an old plant in your house that you just like, you know, I'm going to hate to say this, let it basically die on its own and not water it or feed it. We're just going to let that happen and let these leaves fall off the plant almost one by one. First, it'll be Pettersson, and then I think Malkin's up in 2 years, and then, you know, Rust, and eventually you get to Letang and Sid at the very end, and that'll be that. I don't see them.
Their whole brand is built on having names, and I think they will go down with that ship. You just named them. Sid, you said Sid at the end? Like, it's the end of this story.
Donnie, I think it's going to be like the last scene in Sandlot, you know, not the last scene where they're at Wrigley Field. But you know the one where, like, one by one, they show, like, the kid disappearing off the Sandlot diamond
until... Yeah, they tell you what happened. One guy got really into the 60s and nobody ever saw him again.
Yeah.
I know the scene.
I feel like that's the Penguins.
I think of the end scene in Ocean's 11 where they're in front of the Bellagio and one by one they all step away and eventually it'll just be Sid there.
I don't think it's going to be blunt force trauma by... Dubas, where he just makes these like sweeping changes in the
He literally can't. You just said that.
Well, I'm saying he could try.
Yeah, but like
and beg these guys, but
he won't.
I don't think he will.
Because I still think that Fenway Sports Group, at the highest level here, they understand what they bought. The product they bought is built on big offensive names.
And I do think they're going to continue to do this thing where, okay, this year, let's say they do continue to suck. Mm-hmm. Then they end up in the lottery and they get a top 10 pick. Like they end up picking 5th or 6th or 7th. Chances are, it's a coin flip. You either get a really good player, you get a good player or a bust. It's like most drafts.
You know, hockey draft, I feel like, is the really concentrated at the top. Where usually your top three should be able to help you.
If you go back and look at drafts, I'd say like 4 out of every top 10 pick is an all-star caliber player or close to it. So you're going to get an NHL player. There's a decent chance you're going to get a really good NHL player with one of those picks. My guess is after this season, they'll have a similar strategy in the offseason. They'll offer up some of their bad contracts and see if anybody takes them. And then they'll proceed along with Sid and Letang and Malkin and Carlson in hope that they get off to a hot start and maybe that team can get lucky and make the playoffs next year. They won't use the rebuild word over there. You think so? I think that's anathema to them still. I don't think they'll say it.
They're not going to say it because they're terrified of what it would actually look like in the stands if they announced it and then actually carried it through with it, because anyone that was here 20-plus years ago knows what it looked like. It was not pretty. My wife was sitting on the glass for like $15 a game.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.